I mean, I think you'll agree that lawyers, historically, going back hundreds of years, have really taken a large amount of undeserved abuse. Don't you think? I mean, they're the butt of...
We call them saints.
Who does?
Isn't that a synonym for lawyer? Saint?
I'm not sure where that's true. But I mean, I really can't imagine another profession that's a subject of quite as many jokes as the long-suffering attorney. Maybe the tax collector would be the only other one.
Possibly.
There's a new group that's taking some shots at lawyers, though, and it's not comedians, it's judges. An increasing number of judges accuse lawyers in their courtrooms of processing inaccurate, even fabricated documents in foreclosure actions. Joining us now is a New York State Supreme Court Judge Arthur Schack. Also with us is John Schwartz, a national legal correspondent who wrote the front page story on lawyers and foreclosures for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Judge, I wanted to start with you. You at one point called one upstate lawyer incredible, outrageous, ludicrous, and disingenuous, and said the lawyer appears to be operating in a parallel mortgage universe. What did he do that sparked that kind of comment from you?
Well, this happened to be in a particular case, so the case obviously speaks for itself, dealing with a foreclosure. But there were a lot of strange, if anybody reads the case, there were a lot of strange and bizarre things that happened in this case in dealing with all conflicts of interest and other strange about standing of the lender to foreclose and people should just read the case.
Well,
I really can't comment on a specific case, but a lot of there's just bizarre things, and I'm going to leave it at that.
All right. Well, let's talk specifically about, without pointing to any specific case, but tell me about what you're seeing from lawyers, which is concerning you, particularly related to foreclosure actions. I mean, are you actually seeing falsifications or fabricated documents?
Well, I didn't use the term at one for a number of years, but I found though I said people wearing multiple hats. Someone, I guess, more intelligent than I came up with the term robo-signer to define that. So some people said I'm one of the people uncovered robo-signers because you'd see a pattern. You see the same name on four and five different banks or other financial entities suddenly representing them. You'd wonder, like, what's happening? This person can't hold a job. They keep moving around. So that set off some bells and whistles. Or you'd see that you'd find a location. And there's some of my decisions that are quite notorious that you'd wonder, is this place the size of Madison Square Garden or is it something else? Because so many different banks all are in the same office or the same suite. So it's very strange stuff.
Well, John Schwartz, let me ask you, is this just a problem that Judge Arthur Schack is seeing in his courtroom in New York? Or is this going on nationally that judges are taking lawyers to task?
Judges who are lawyers really care for the profession. And when they see other lawyers doing wrong things, they get really upset. There are lawyers in Florida, which is a huge center for foreclosure, who are coming under similar pressure. And there are other judges in New York State. Judge Fairgreave has said some pretty tough things as well in cases. And there are others. And Judge Schack's opinions are being cited more and more. So there's a sort of ever-widening circle of judges taking this on.
Well, you report that Judge Fairgreave, who's in Nassau County, asked a legal firm to pay about $20,000 in fines because of some papers that contained falsities. And you also report that some courts are asking attorneys to vouch for the authenticity of the documents they're presenting. What does that mean?
Well, New York State, for example, has demanded that lawyers sign a two-page affirmation saying that I've checked with the bank that is putting these papers forward and what's inside is accurate. The idea that you would actually have to say this as an officer of the court seems insane, but in fact, the courts are demanding now that the lawyers vouch for the documents that they turn in, and the lawyers of New York State pushed back and said, you know, this puts us under too much responsibility. This, you're making us responsible for our clients' veracity. And there was a little fiddling, a little back and forth, but there's still a two-page affirmation that says, these documents I'm handing in say what they say.
Well, let me ask you, Judge, do you think it's reasonable to ask a lawyer to verify every single document a client presents them, or are they just representing a client? That's their job, and they are taking the client at their word.
Well, in let's put foreclosures aside for a moment. In most in regular cases or all cases, when you file a complaint, if it's verified, many times they have verifications, meaning that not only does a person certify that to who's the complainant or the lawyer that everything is accurate, you have lawyers who fill out all these affirmations that it's very cutely worded, you might say, that to the best of their knowledge, everything in there is true. So we have these verifications in a lot of other filings. So I don't think this is a problem, but the lawyers evidently for banks have problems, because I have a number of decisions in which right now I'm in the process of writing where I gave lawyers 60 days to comply with this new rule, which went into effect on October 20th, to give me these affirmations that everything is accurate to the best of their knowledge. And I have lawyers who've written to me saying, I can't do that. I can't confirm or deny that it's accurate.
That's Judge Arthur Schack. He's a New York State Supreme Court judge. John Schwartz of the New York Times, do you see this as a temporary situation that deals with just this wave of foreclosure filings? Or is this some kind of change in terms of procedures?
I think that this could be the start of a real pressure push on the legal profession, because the judges who are writing these opinions know that, as y'all started saying at the top of the segment, people don't like lawyers anyway, right? And the idea that the profession's integrity, reputation, could be further damaged by this wave of foreclosures and the sloppy documents. They don't want to see it. And so the pressure on lawyers, I think, is going to increase, not just in New York, not just in Florida, but around the country.
Well, there's pressure on lawyers to prove their case, whatever documents they're using. I want to put a little pressure on you, John Schwartz, and since we have a judge here, Judge Schack as well. Any thoughts on the workability of pre-screening for mental illness in gun control cases without violating every constitutional right there is in the books? We've been discussing about that, of course, in the wake of the violence in Arizona.
You're really jumping a field from foreclosures.
Yeah, but we got you here with two legal minds. Come on, you got a few seconds.
I think, just off the top of my head, that's certainly a very, it might be a very viable concept, but I would think that we have millions of gun owners in this country that it would cost a fortune to fund something like this. But again, I don't know how we'd work this thing out.
It's Judge Arthur Schack, a New York State Supreme Court judge. You want to have the last word, Schwartz?
As a lawyer, I'm offended by your comments.
John Schwartz, New York Times national legal correspondent, as always, thanks so much. We've had a lot of discussion on our website and among our listeners. Listen to Verona from New Hampshire.
They're not selling chewing gum. They're selling lethal weapons. People who are selling guns need to be held accountable for who they sell it to, because they can be used to kill people.
And what did Dan Baum, contributor to Harper's Magazine, say on the program?
You're right about driving a car. You have to take a test to drive a car. The embarrassing truth is cars are not in the Constitution and guns are. And we kind of have to confront that.
We want you to confront it at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.